Welcome to Kevin Cast, Torp Cast episode 50. Yes, we made it to our fourth anniversary and episode 50. On today's anniversary episode, we will be discussing Triple Threat writer, director, and actor Kevin Smith. I'd like to introduce you to executive producer and man most likely to run the International Monetary Fund, Jim Caswell.
And he's Doug Zeitlin, co-executive producer of Twerps and author of the recently submitted screenplay Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back 2, Smokin' the Boogaloo. Smith has since issued a restraining order, making it the lucky baker's dozen for Douglas. Last year, we had to make a decision between doing our anniversary episode on Kevin Smith or James Cameron. And with James Cameron having just produced the number one best-selling movie of all time, he kind of won out. So this year, much like many people, we're choosing our second choice, Kevin Smith.
Yes, that's Kevin Patrick Smith, who was born on August 2nd, 1970 in Red Bank, New Jersey.
He was hanging out at the Jersey Shore long before it got polluted by those losers on MTV.
There's no situation there. Unless you consider being a writer, director, actor, comic book writer, comic book dealer, internet podcaster, a situation.
Sounds to me like he needs his head examined, but that's just as somebody who is a writer, producer, internet actor, podcaster, librarian.
Yes. We'll have your head examined as soon as we can have it shrunk enough to fit out of that very tight little sphincter it's in right now.
All you need is a pin to pop it. And trust me, a lot of people have popped my ego in the past.
Well, you are full of hot air.
Kevin Smith made his first steps towards movie infamy, or to his own demise. It's still up in the air. Right after high school, when he met Jason Mewes, better known as Jay of Jay and Silent Bob, became one of his closest friends and frequent collaborator.
It was following high school that he started in the Vancouver Film School,
of which he dropped out of halfway through. But on the plus side, that year of education did not go to waste, because it was there that he met Scott Mosier, who went on to produce most of the movies that he's done.
Kevin is a slacker. Speaking of which, he credits the film Slacker as his inspiration for actually becoming a filmmaker.
That list of job after his names, and you're going to call him a slacker?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Well, let's see. The Slacker's film credits include his very first film, which was Clerks, in 1994. He made it on a budget of $27,575, which was completely financed on credit cards. It went on to win awards in both the Sundance and Cannes film festivals. Now, personally, I will say I saw Clerks. I was rather unimpressed. Out of all the movies that Kevin Smith has done so far, it is probably my least favorite. You can really tell that it was a raw screenwriter, and it just had a lot of toilet humor, which is something that he went on to make a name for himself, but it was lowbrow toilet humor as opposed to highbrow toilet humor.
Yes, he was the man who created the excremental, a toilet demon from Dogma. But nevertheless, Clerks is really the reason I would call him a slacker, because of the subject material. I think what you really had here with Clerks, rather than a great piece of cinematography, because it's not, is a writer showing just how important the script is to movie making and just having brilliant dialogue.
Yes, I would say that the dialogue was brilliant. It just wasn't usually funny. I specifically remember watching the movie and thinking to myself, there were two jokes that I laughed at, and both of them I was embarrassed about laughing at.
I remember watching the movie and thinking, this is really clever. Wow, this is incredibly clever. I don't remember laughing all that much. I just remember thinking how clever it was.
I thought his second movie was a much funnier film, and that was Mallrats in 1995.
I love Mallrats. I would love to argue that it's actually his best movie. It's not, so I can't really argue it, but I really love Mallrats. I don't think it really stands up to the test of time, but I think if you take it as a snapshot, a picture of pop culture at the time, then it is a brilliant piece of filmmaking.
Yeah, It's something that anyone in that age bracket could thoroughly identify with. It was a day in the life of a bunch of late teens, early 20s slackers, for lack of a better term, who spend the day hanging out in a mall. And it was thoroughly enjoyable. Was it Oscar material? No. But then again, a lot of the good stuff isn't these days. See, I told you I could fit in a Oscar slam somewhere along the way.
It's hard to mention the Academy without a slam. He followed up with another low-budget flick called Chasing Amy in 1997.
Chasing Amy had a lot of the same elements as his first two films, but he tried to tackle some of the more serious subject matters, which a lot of people gave him credit for, and a lot of people do credit Chasing Amy as his best film, but it wasn't his funniest film. And Kevin Smith really is good at common man comedy, and I thought that this movie was a little bit lacking.
I really like Chasing Amy. Again, with all of his early films, I'd like to say this was his best film ever. And I think this one actually has a lot of genuine reason you could say this was the best film ever. I would call Chasing Amy Friends for really smart people.
As opposed to Friends, which was Friends for really dumb people.
Well, exactly.
And I just heard three people stop the playback right there.
Oh, there go all our listeners. And as long as I'm going to, say, this film is Kevin Smith's best film, we really have to move on to Dogma, his 1999 flick.
Dogma was his first brush with controversy, because a lot of the religious right took offense to somebody trying to make a comedy based around religion. And I agree with you, this really was his best film that I've seen so far. He did treat it with a lot of comedy, a lot of tongue-in-cheek, but you could also see some reverence that he had, not for the religious system, but for religion.
Absolutely. And it's hard for me to argue between this and Chasing Amy as which is a better piece of filmmaking. I have to say, I enjoyed Dogma on so many different levels that it's just one of my all-time favorite movies. But then again, Mallrats is one of my all-time favorite movies. Whereas I don't think Mallrats holds the test of time, I think Dogma does. There is not a single line in that movie where he says religion or being religious is wrong or stupid. He does, however, point out flaws in the systems.
I think Buddy Christ is just as pertinent today as it was in 1999. The idea of trying to create a religious system that makes people feel good about themselves and really has very little to do with the pursuit of religion in any way, shape, or form. A lot of people really took offense to that, and as a member of that religious right, I was able to see what he was doing, see what he was pointing at, and understand it completely without taking offense to it. I remember when you and I saw it together the first time, you thought for sure I was going to hate this film, and I absolutely loved it.
Well, I might mention, just as an afterthought for people listening to this, that we're actually recording this session on a day which is predicted to be the end of the world. There is a group of religious fanatics who believe that today is the end. If you're listening to this, they were wrong.
And that's a fantastic point, and I want us to come back to it in a little bit, because I want us to actually talk about the fanaticism that's out there and some of the damage that it does.
Okay, excellent, because we could actually spend another hour or three or five just on dogma and religion. But we're talking about Kevin Smith.
So, how does Kevin Smith follow up a great piece of cinema like Dogma?
He gets another excremental. This one is called Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. This was in 2001.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back tried very hard to take things back from the extreme seriousness hidden within a comedy of Dogma back to its roots of fart, penis, and drug jokes.
I would agree in so much as I think this movie was up somebody's ass. I love Kevin Smith, but whereas I would argue his first four movies are all his best movie ever, I am absolutely certain, with no argument necessary, this is his worst movie ever.
I don't know, I still enjoyed it more than Clerks, but that's just me.
Clerks has the unique stand of actually being clever. There was nothing clever in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. No, I'm lying. I did enjoy Good Will Hunting 2, hunting season. That made me laugh.
That made me laugh. The guest appearances of both Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher made me laugh. The idea of James Vanderbeek and the guy from American Pie getting the living snot beaten out of them by Jay and Silent Bob, that made me laugh.
Yeah, but really what you're pointing out is there are individual jokes that were funny, but they're tied together so thinly on such a terrible piece of string that they're not worth making a movie out of. They would have been funny on, say, a Saturday Night Live skit, but not as a movie.
A series of YouTube videos.
That would have been perfect. Any of these little jokes would have been great on Funny or Die.
Jay and Silent Bob getting picked up by the Scooby Gang and getting high with them. That was funny.
Music. Not very clever.
To paraphrase your standards, it made me laugh and it was considered a comedy. Therefore, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy it.
One that I think we could both agree wasn't as good as his previous movies was his next outing, which was Jersey Girl in 2004.
No, I think I'm going to disagree with you here. I think, other than Kevin Smith, I'm the only person on Earth who actually liked this movie.
Well, the first hurdle that he ran into was the fact that this was Smith's first venture outside of his View Askew universe. Keep in mind that Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back all dealt with basically the same characters set within the same continuity. Jersey Girl stepped outside of that. And I think there was a level of added pressure for him to step out of that universe because after doing 5 movies, he as a writer and director was kind of getting typecast.
Going back to what you said earlier, this movie was a comedy. It made me laugh. It was a family movie. It tugged at my heartstrings. I think this movie successfully pulled off what it was trying to do.
And actually, that's part of the problem I had with it, was that I knew it was a romantic comedy. I knew it was supposed to be a family movie. It didn't really make me laugh that much, and it really didn't pull at my heartstrings. It was just kind of there.
It's one of the few movies ever where I didn't hate Liv Tyler. And for that alone, Kevin Smith deserves an Oscar, because I didn't think it was possible to get a performance out of her.
Yeah, but it also had Jennifer Lopez in it.
I love Jennifer Lopez. Not as a singer, but just as an actor. And that's got to drive everybody listening nuts. I don't think she could carry a movie all by herself, but put her in a room with America's sweetheart Julia Roberts, and I'll take Jennifer Lopez every day. Two of them could have a cat fight that I'd love to see.
And so would 98% of American straight men out there. Jersey Girl did not do good in the box office. It was considered a financial failure. Of course, anything that doesn't win back double the amount of money that they invested into it is considered to be a financial failure. So Smith followed it up by returning to his roots, literally, by making Clerks 2 in 2006.
Well, there's also a little backstory here, because if you remember, he became friends with Jason Mewes right there after high school. And somewhere during their movie career, that's like really unknown to me, Jason Mewes mixed fantasy and reality, and his drug-abusing Jay became the drug-abusing Jason Mewes. Kevin Smith made him a deal and said, you go to rehab, you get clean, we'll do another Clerks movie.
Yeah, so no matter if Clerks 2 is your favorite movie, whether it was a financial success or failure, doesn't matter, because he was able to use it to save a guy's life. That, to me, says wonders about it.
I agree, and something that I don't think that we touched on, in between Clerks and Clerks 2, there was an extremely brief run of Clerks the Cartoon.
No, we didn't hit on that, kind of on purpose, but go ahead.
There's not a lot to really say about that other than the idea of making Clerks a cartoon on a family network. That brought tears to my eyes. I thought that was really funny. I didn't think it was a good idea. I was wondering who was going to get fired over it.
And the answer was Kevin Smith. But it had a good, what, 6-episode run?
Good full 6 episodes.
Which is better than some of the stuff this past fall got.
Clerks 2 was followed up with another one that I would argue was actually a pretty good movie, whether or not it did very well, was Zack and Mary Make a Porno. This was 2008.
Much like you said that you really enjoyed the fact that he was able to make Liv Tyler a person that you could actually stomach watching, I have to go back and amend that Paul was not the first good thing that I ever saw Seth Rogen in. Zack and Miri Make a Porno was the first good thing that I saw Seth Rogen in.
The only thing about this movie that I think is actually bad was the title. If this movie had a title which could have been appealing to a wider audience, this movie would have done so much better. It really harkens back to the days of Kevin Smith as an incredibly smart and witty writer.
The title of this movie would only appeal to the 18 to 35 male demographic, and it will completely alienate everyone else.
The title itself may as well just be fart and dick jokes, and this movie is so much more than that.
It is. We were talking earlier about Jersey Girl being a romantic comedy. In some ways, Zack and Miri Make a Porno is a great romantic comedy, once you get past all the fart and penis jokes.
I guess you could call it a bromance? I don't know. There's not a name for a male chick flick. That's what this is. Take the chick flick formula, add in fart and penis jokes, and you have Kevin Smith. It is what it is. I'm not going to argue it's his greatest movie ever, but it was following up after Jersey Girl and Clerks 2. I thought it made a pretty good Kevin Smith movie.
Yes. And again, it had Tracy Lords in it, and she was funny, and she was actually acting. And
she had all her clothes on the entire time.
Yeah, she's one of the characters who didn't appear nude. Of course, Jason Mewes nude just wasn't something that I needed to see.
We could call that Jason Ewes.
Maybe that was his reward for getting clean. Kevin's most recent movie was Cop Out in 2010, starring Bruce Willis. An okay buddy cop movie, but it wasn't up to either Kevin Smith's or Bruce Willis's standard that had been set before. And it didn't help that it had Tracy Morgan, who, in spite of the fact that he's incredibly popular because of 30 Rock, I don't get why people think he's so great.
Let's talk about Kevin Smith outside of his own films.
He has been pretty well known for making bit appearances in other stuff. He's kind of the Where's Waldo of directors. Occasionally he pops up and you go, hey, look, it's Kevin Smith.
As a small aside, there's a short film out that's called Film Club. It's a fake trailer for a parody of Fight Club. And the best bit in this whole little trailer is there's a guy dressed up like Silent Bob on the ground and he's dead. And you just have all the people in there going, his name was Silent Bob. And that's an aside because it's not one of his film credits. Unfortunately, it's not one of his acting credits either, but...
But the funny thing is that Silent Bob makes about as many guest appearances on things as Kevin Smith does.
But I Degrassi.
The Degrassi series of TV shows, apparently he made guest appearances there. I never watched them.
Did anybody watch the Degrassi shows? My guess is we have a higher ratings.
Well, it was on MTV, so they didn't really need ratings. He was also in Southland Tales, which I didn't see. He was on Law and Order, which I didn't see. He was on Veronica Mars, which I didn't see. He was on Yes, Dear, which I didn't see.
Oh God, another one of those. Did anybody ever see that?
It was on for several years on CBS. I'm sure somebody fell asleep with the TV on, with it on that channel. You know, it was on at 7:30 in the evening. I'm sure some of CBS's watchers were asleep by then with the TV on. Some of the things I did see was Fanboys and Live Free or Die Hard. And I actually thought he was very funny in Live Free or Die Hard.
He did a good job in Live Free or Die Hard.
Of course, he was playing a computer geek, which wasn't a big stretch for him, so...
My guess is he probably did a pretty good job in all of these, even though we're going, didn't see this, didn't see this, didn't see this. They wouldn't be asking him back to make these appearances if he didn't bring something to these roles. I love his work dearly, but he's not a big enough name to be stunt casting and bring in additional viewers.
He also has done some animated stuff. He did voice work on TMNT, which is the most recent Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. He was actually Hal Jordan on Duck Dodgers.
Duck Dodgers in the 25th and a half century!
And he's actually done voice work on Phineas and Ferb, which I don't watch, but seems to be in the orbit of geekdom that I follow, because their theme song is done by one of our favorite filk groups, which is Ookla the Muck.
And if you haven't heard Ookla the Muck, go on their website and order their CDs, right now.
Their music is incredibly funny and really, really good. The bigger the geek you are, the better their music is.
We're not talking big around the waist. We're talking big as in you like things that are geeky.
So in other words, we qualify for both.
Right.
Okay. Kevin Smith has also very recently started up a new feature on G4's Attack of the Show called Cinema Enema, where he reviews movies with Jason Mewes that have recently come out. From what I can tell, they're going to be doing it on a regular basis on Wednesdays. If you don't watch Attack of the Show, tune in on Wednesdays. It's pretty funny. Reminds me a lot of our show. Only good.
Not only is Kevin Smith a triple threat in the movie TV industry, he also has comic book credits.
He has comic book cred. He's been the writer on Daredevil, Green Arrow, a Spider-Man Black Cat limited series, the Batman Cacophony limited series, the Batman Widening Gear limited series. His screenplay for Green Hornet was turned into a comic book. And on top of all that, he also co-owns a comic shop called Secret Stash.
When he's not busy slacking on his other activities, he also is podcasting his Smodcast.
Smodcast is short for Smith Mosier Podcast, and it's co-hosted with Scott Mosier, his producer.
Now, Jim, a short while ago, you pulled me back from the religious topic, and I believe there's a reason that you did that.
Yes, there is. Kevin Smith's newest film, which will be coming out sometime later on this year, I think it's October, is a horror film based on radical fundamentalist Christian groups like Pastor Fred Phelps and the Westboro Baptist Church. In case you don't know who these people are by name, they're the ones who go on out and they protest at funerals if the person had in any way, shape, or form a connection to gay rights organizations or anybody who is gay. These are the people who protested Liz Taylor's funeral and the funeral of soldiers.
Yes. We said, not gay funerals. You don't have to be gay to be protested. You just simply have to be associated with anything gay.
Yeah. Just a couple of days before this recording, Lisa Lampanelli, who is a female comic, was performing in their hometown, and she made a public statement saying that for every member of this church who came to protest her show, because she is connected to gay activists, she would donate $1,000 to a gay activist group in their name. And they had 44 people show up to protest, so she donated $44,000 to this gay activist group in their name.
I think that's brilliant. These people are crazy. And I know we're supposed to be talking about Kevin Smith, but these people drive me absolutely insane.
I have deeply rooted problems with people like this for one very basic reason. As a Christian, and I am very adamant about the fact that I am a Christian, these people give Christianity a horribly bad name. People look at the religion of Christianity and use these people as the example of who Christians are. And they have absolutely no desire to respect the religion, to listen to what the messages might be, because of whack jobs like these people. They give Christians an incredibly bad name, and while in their little minds they think that they're advancing God's cause, they are in fact doing so much damage that it's beyond belief. It enrages me that these people are out there, and because of the fact that they go on out and they get press and they strive to make their message known, they're doing so much damage to the Christian cause.
My message as a podcaster, I guess you'd say in my humble opinion, is if you hate somebody because of their religion, because of their gender, because of their sexual orientation, because of the color of their skin, because of their country of origin, if you hate somebody for any reason, and you are just a small-minded individual, I don't want you listening to my podcast. You are not the person that I am talking to.
Now, that being said, it does slightly bother me that Kevin Smith is taking the horrible things that these people are doing and adding to their insult by making a horror film. It's giving them yet more press, which adds to that whole putting Christians into a bad light thing.
I don't know how to follow that up exactly, because I haven't seen the movie, and I don't know if he is trying to say Christianity is bad. I don't know if he's trying to say religion is bad. I know that he did an incredibly good job of balancing the line in Dogma, so I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not saying that I'm not willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm hoping that he will do an equally good job of balancing. It's not the fact that I don't think these people deserve to be criticized. They do. My concern is that people, again, will take this farcical example of what Christianity is and use it as more ammunition against Christians. I'm not saying he is. I'm saying other people. And again, I haven't seen this film yet, so I don't know how he's going to approach it. I'm just concerned about the backlash on the other end. I know that he's already getting protests from various religious groups because, yet again, he's doing stuff in a religious base. He's actually called this his Passion of the Christ, which comes across a little bit scary to me. But again, I do trust him as a filmmaker. The fact that it's also a horror film brings it kind of out of my comfort zone as far as movies I enjoy to see.
Just as we could talk about Dogma for an hour, we could talk about Red State for an hour. I think you've given us a really good segue. You said that this is outside of the realm of movies you're comfortable seeing. Perhaps Kevin Smith has something that you would be more comfortable with.
Well, his next project is supposed to be another comedy sort of film called Hit Somebody, which is going to be a hockey movie, which, as a longtime fan of the movie Slapshot, I can only imagine what he's going to try to pull here. I think it has a lot of comedic potential to it. The one downside that I see is that he's also claiming that this is going to be his last directorial film. He will continue to produce movies and things of that nature, but I'm getting the feeling that he's kind of burnt out on the whole directorial thing.
If I had to argue anything, I'd say the only reason he did movies in the first place was so that he could make a name for himself and get into comic books.
He does seem to get more enjoyment out of writing comic books. Because he's writing for a smaller audience that are going to enjoy what he's doing automatically, it is an easier audience to perform for.
It's true. And if you sell 20,000 copies of a comic book, you've done really good. If you sell 20,000 tickets to a movie, you have done so incredibly bad that you better run to a country that doesn't have an extradition treaty.
Yeah. Personally, I hope he changes his mind, because I do enjoy him as a director. I do enjoy him as a storyteller. There are times that I'll even enjoy him as an actor. I'm hoping that he hasn't been run over by the Hollywood machine so often at this point that he decides to give up on it.
I agree with you. I like him as a writer, I like him as a director, and I want to see him continue to work as a triple threat for years to come.
So Kevin, if you hear this, you still have two fans out there. And quit slacking and listening to dumb shows like this one.
Ba-dum-bum. As always, we thank you for listening to Twerpcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. This is our fourth anniversary. Thanks for sticking by us for so long. We encourage your feedback. You can write jim@twerponline.net. We can also be reached on Facebook, Zanga, MySpace, and Twitter.
Twerpcast is a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions. Copyright 2011.
Happy anniversary to us. Happy anniversary to us. Happy anniversary to Twerpcast. Happy anniversary to us.